sent forth his word and healed them and delivered them from their destruction. Psalm 107 verse 20. The message you're about to hear is a straightforward, down-to-earth and insightful teaching by Adelaide Heward Mills. Adelaide serves under her husband, Bishop Dag Heward Mills, as a pastor at the Lighthouse Chapel International. Adelaide is a handmaiden of God and is privileged to have been used by God to pastor and to speak the word of God, both nationally and internationally, to all ages and gender. She has a plethora of messages on many issues, experiences, and situations of life from God's perspective. Get ready to be transformed as you listen to this message by God's anointed handmaiden, Adelaide Heward Mills.
I pray that we'll receive with meekness the engrafted word of God, which is able to save our souls. I pray for this vessel of clay, for we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power shall be of you and not of us. Therefore, Lord, I yield myself as a vessel to you. I pray that, Lord, you will sanctify and use these lips. And I pray that your will be done. Thank you for the anointing, for it's not by might, nor by power, but by your Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, I rely totally on you. Thank you for your presence, your help, and for knowing the mandate of the Father. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you will fulfill your work. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm as shocked as you are to be standing here. Amen. And I can see that we serve a God of miracles. The Queen of Sheba came to visit Solomon and she said one thing. She said that God loves you. God loves your people. That is why he gave you to them. And I want to say this morning, your Bishop Clufio loves you. That is how come. He has literally negotiated for me to be here. I was happy to be here, but I told him on one condition, if I can sit down and be ministered to by your pastor, that's the only condition under which I will come with joy. And he just said, just a word of encouragement, you know. So when your pastor picked me up, I said, did Bishop Clufio tell you that I'm not preaching? And he said, no, he didn't say anything like that. But anyway, it's always a privilege to share God's word. Amen. So I'm honored and happy to be here. I want to salute Bishop Dag. For his obedience to the call. Amen. He has been my roommate of about 35 years. And I tell you, when you live with him, you never feel you are spiritual enough. Yes. And no matter what is going on, whether there's a big conference, whether there's a what, his time in the presence of God, it's never compromised. You can't do anything about it. That's how it is. And on my phone, his name on my phone is God Lover. Because I just see how much he loves God. And I'm always running to catch up. Amen. So we thank God that he uses willing vessels. God is not looking at ability. He's looking at availability. So when you avail yourself, he will use you. And I want to salute my husband for his vision. Amen. Whenever I go to another country, I go to another branch, I'm always humbled by what God is doing. And this morning is no different. I'm humbled by being here. I'm humbled by seeing you. I'm humbled by seeing you dance just like all of us. And I'm humbled by the way you misbehave like all UD churches. And I can tell that it's the same spirit. Paul said, be of the same mind, of the same spirit, and of the same love. And we thank God for that. Amen. Amen. I also want to salute Bishop Clufio. And his spirit-filled wife, Mama E. I have known them for many years. When I knew them, they were students. And the church was rather small, and it had a very tiny choir. And your Mama E was a chorister. And every day she'll wear black and white. And she'll stand in front, and they'll be singing, Shepherd of my soul, I give. So it's all about relationships. And I think that's one of the greatest gifts God can give you. So when I knew them, they were not beloveds. And she had not said yes to her husband. And the husband was a Christian, but he was Muliganos. And he would come and visit her at church time. And he used to be so shocked that when he comes, she would say, I'm going to church. Say, oh, but I've come. Say, yes, church first. I'm going to church. Some of you, as soon as you get a beloved, that's the end. So our relationship has grown from strength to strength. And then, very soon after medical school, God sent them through Bishop Dag to South Africa. At that time, you were just getting independence. And they went to Eastern Cape, right? Per D. And there were no mobile phones, but sometimes I would speak to her and say, Mommy, it's so lonely. I don't know anybody here. My husband has gone to work, and it's not easy. And with the little that God had encouraged me, I will also encourage her. And today, here we are. God has been faithful. And then I want to celebrate your Bishop Peter and his wife. Lady Pastor Nono. Do you know they are Ghanaians? They came to live in Ghana. Yes, for some years. And their first child is Ghanaian. She was born in Ghana. And that also began a long road of relationship. So last year, I was here, and I was preaching in their church. And this year, I'm here, and I'm preaching in Mexico. I want to say that relationships matter, you know, and it's through their obedience and their service. Today, a son of this soil is a convener and a bishop. See? But it doesn't just happen overnight. It happens with a lot of humility, the heart to serve, loving Jesus and loving his work. Because every company, every church has its own, if you like, philosophy. And the things that they may emphasize on, and the things that they believe in, you know. And so you have to align yourself with the vision. Amen.
Yeah.
At the weekend, I was in the Randburg Church, but it was a First Love Higham service. So it was just like when I entered, the dancing stars were dancing. And again, I became so emotional because I was looking and I was saying, but it's the same thing. And also they dance with all their hearts, just like here. And you know, people are happy about God. And it's very exciting. And when I look at such things, I'm grateful to God that he gave me the grace. Because so you kill it at seed stage. You never see what the tree will become, what the fruits will become. Amen. Amen. And that's why I'm saying that everywhere I go, I'm humbled. I'm like, God, from a classroom with 5 people, how can we be here? How can I be in South Africa and feel so at home? I don't think that if I was working for any corporate body, it would be like that. It's a privilege to serve God. Amen. And I want to thank Bishop Peter and his wife for the work they are doing and for their obedience to God and also loyalty to God and to his servant. So I hope that I have given honor to whom honor is due. But last but not the least, I want to salute your very reverend here. And his wife. Amen. He came all the way to get us and to bring us here. And he was giving me the testimony of how it all began. He said that in 2014, Bishop came for mission to South Africa. And then one of the things Bishop said was, why don't we have a church in Middelburg? And he came forward, and at a point, it was like, okay, I accept to go to Middelburg. And at that time, he didn't even have a job. How can you accept to be transferred when you don't have a job and the prospects also don't look great? Beloved, it is faith, and it is being spiritual, which many of us are not. We judge things by our eyes, like Lot. We look for where the grass is watered. And we say, I'll go here. Not knowing that it is Sodom and Gomorrah. Yeah. Amen. Amen. And then he came here and God opened doors. And today as we drove here and I saw your mega church, I could only give God the glory. So Reverend, we honor you. May God keep and preserve you. And continue to bless you, your wife and your family. And last but not the least, I want to salute everyone here. You know, the Bible says that when you don't discern the body of Christ, you fall sick and you die. And the body is not just made up of the head. Every part of the body matters. So this morning, thank you for being here. Thank you for being in the presence of God. And thank you for listening to a vessel of clay like me. Amen. God bless you. And as you serve him, may you never be shortchanged. In Jesus' name. Amen. Please take your seats. Happy Gloria, you have to time me, okay? Because I like to rant and... Okay, so 45 minutes to 1 hour, you do this, like, if I see. Well, this morning, I'm going to speak to you about prosperity of the word. Wow. Prosperity of the word. You know, this message was preached by Bishop Dagg, and the Bible is a timeless book. It's about more than 2,000 years old, and it's still changing lives and touching you and I. Amen. Shall we turn our Bibles to Isaiah 55? Isaiah 55. Do you know where Isaiah is? Or you think it's a classmate you had who was called Isaiah? It's a book in the Bible. It's better to know the word of God than the next fashion in town. Amen, somebody. Isaiah 55. I'm reading from 8 to 11. Prosperity of the word. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth in bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. Amen. This is a very important verse, and we memorized it as young Christians. And it was used often for going for witnessing. Whenever we went for witnessing, and sometimes we felt a bit discouraged, or we felt that the amount of souls we were expecting, we didn't get, then we will comfort ourselves with this verse, that God said, my word shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish that for which it is sent. Amen. But this morning, I'm talking about prosperity of the word. You know, we all know about prosperity, but we do not think that the word of God is what leads to prosperity. You know, we haven't accepted that, or we haven't really made it sink that the word of God in us is an avenue for prosperity. So God says, especially in verse 10, that as the rain comes down and the snow from the sky, from heaven, and it does not return, when rain comes down, it does not go back, but it waters the earth and makes it bring forth and bud. It waters our plants, it waters our crops, and it makes it bring forth so that it will give birth. And it, when the crop matures, or whatever fruit tree or whatever it is matures, it brings forth seed. Amen? Amen. Not only does it bring fruit, it also brings forth seed to the sower and bread to the eater. And God says that my word is the same. Verse 11. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void. Now the Bible is God's word that has come out of his mouth to you and I. Amen. Because the Bible says in Timothy that all scripture is inspired by God and is profitable. So the word of God doesn't introduce losses in your life. It rather introduces profitability. Amen, somebody. So God is saying that any word that comes out of my mouth, it does not return to me void. The rain does not return to the sky. Have you seen rain returning to the sky? Maybe after condensation, it goes through whatever, then it goes up as clouds, then it comes down as rain, but it doesn't go back. And God said in the same way, The word that comes from my mouth, the inspired word of God, the Bible, the words that I speak to you in your quiet time, in your Bible study, when you are listening to messages, it does not return to me void, but it is sent for a purpose, and it accomplishes the reason for which it was sent. Amen. But it doesn't end there. It says that it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. So if the word of God enters your life, it will lead to prosperity. If the word of God enters your life, it will lead to spiritual prosperity, financial prosperity, emotional prosperity, physical prosperity, because it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I have sent it. You are the vessel whereunto he sends his word. Therefore, the word should not be scanty in you. The word should not be sparse in you. But the word should be flourishing and prosperous in your life. Amen. So that is why the title is Prosperity of the Word. The Word of God will prosper in you because God's Word is phenomenal. It grows, it flourishes, and it buds, it gives birth to something. We are all here because of His Word. Amen. I remember praying for years for my brother Bishop Kakra to be saved. He was an unbeliever. And he was chasing the neighbor's daughter. And the neighbor was not an... He was very good friends with us, but because he went to follow the neighbor's daughter, the relationship was spoiled. And every time I was praying for him, witnessing to him, but it didn't seem to land. Then one day, my beloved came to visit me because I lived in another city and I just went to uni in Accra, the capital. So he came to visit me and he arrived in the morning. So I took him to the dining room to give him some food. And I said to my brother Kakra that, oh, today the drivers didn't come to work, it's Saturday. So just take the water hose because of the mud on the car and just wash it so that my beloved's car will be clean. So I told my beloved, oh, let's give the key to my brother. He will wash it and then after he'll bring the key. So after my beloved had the breakfast, we decided as beloveds to go for a picnic at a place called Wind River. So I've made all my sandwiches, my things. I'm in love. Do you understand? When we came out, no car. Oh, those days to no cell phone. But the car was not supposed to be moved. So I'm like, oh. Then my beloved turned to me and said, ah, where is my car? If I was white, you'd see me turn red. I was so embarrassed. And I said, oh, I don't know. I gave the key to my brother. And then Bishop said, hey, your brothers, they are wild, man. So he's gone out with the car. So I said, let's stand here and wait. He may come soon. As we stood there, he came. When he came, he just parked the car and came out. And I said, Kaka, where did you go with my beloved's car? So I washed it and I thought that I'll just find something up. I said, ah, but there are even cars in the house. Like, why this one? Anyway, so I thought that I'm just putting my little basket in the car. We'll go for the picnic. And then my husband said, oh, I think we should sit down for a while before we leave. So Kakra, come with us. So we went to our sitting room, which was different from my parents' sitting room, and then we sat down. And then my beloved said to him, have you ever thought of being born again? And he was just looking at Bishop. And Bishop said, well, you know, all have sinned and come short. The wages of sin is death, but God's gift is eternal life. He spoke, but as he was speaking, I was saying that this earth is a very strong earth. When you put rain on it, it doesn't go. When you rain the word on it, it doesn't go. And then Bishop asked him, would you like to give your life to Christ? And he said, yes. And Bishop prayed with him. And he gave his life to Christ. And from that day, he changed like night and day. Like, there was no in between. And that very night, God called him into ministry, and to the, because he went up to go and pray, a new convert. He went to the rooftop to go and pray. And as he was praying, an angel visited him, then fire, then he ran downstairs. He ran into the wardrobe. The fire was there. And he said that, you must obey me. You are called. I mean, like Saul of Tarsus, on the very day. So he always says, as for him, he's in ministry because God told him, if you don't obey, I'll kill you. It wasn't like some of us say, should I go? Should I not go? Should I obey? Should I? He doesn't have that luxury. But the word of God prospered in him. The minute the word entered, it prospered in him. Amen. That is the power of God. You look at how bad you were. Only the word of God could prosper in you and change you. No matter your parents talking. Even your parents, they don't know the person they live with. They don't know. Because you have a secret life. But when God's light comes, it prospers in you. It prospers in your life. And it turns things around. Amen. So the prosperity we are talking about today is the prosperity of God in us. The Bible says in John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So that Bible passage you read during your quiet time is actually God trying to penetrate our lives and prosper our lives. The Word of God is God. And when God is in you, you have no option than to prosper. And I'm not talking about just having things, but prosperity in you, flourishing in you. And many of us go under because the Word of God is not flourishing. The Word of God is not powerful in us because we haven't taken time to allow that word that he said will not return void, that word that will accomplish the reason for which it is sent, that word that will prosper in us. You have not given it room in your life and in your heart. Therefore, your spiritual walk, you are not prosperous. You are very poor when it comes to prosperity of the word. But the word is God in us. Amen. Now, the word prosperity comes from the same Greek word that we know called shalak. And to shalak means to break out, to come mightily, to make progress, and to push out. Amen. Amen. Now, the word of God is not supposed to be some little midget in your life. You even forget that it's in you. And when you are freaking out, it doesn't occur to you that what does God's word say? Do you understand? And that is why a lot of us are not stalwarts, are not mighty, are not strong in the Lord, because the word that God has sent has not prospered in us. Amen. I mean, I was telling you during the greeting that I am glad that I did not destroy God's creation. But it isn't that I was just there, then I said, oh, I'm glad I didn't destroy God's creation. No. I was having my quiet time in the book of Genesis. And I saw that God told Adam and Eve, don't eat of this tree. And then the Bible says that the serpent was subtle, so he spoke to Eve. Then Eve gave in, and that's why we are all here today. But the verse that my quiet time zeroed in, the phrase or the verse was, when God came and asked Eve, what is this that thou hast done? What is this that thou hast done? And as I meditated upon it, what is this that thou hast done? I'm like, what was God referring to? What change came in the Garden of Eden? And the Holy Spirit said to me, incurable diseases. God could see it when he said, what is this that thou hast done? Terminal diseases. God could see cancers, betrayal, broken relationships, depression, mental health issues, sowing and yet not reaping. Because God told Adam, in the sweat of your face, you will till the land. But it's like, if you don't sweat, it doesn't work. And even in the sweat, there's a curse. Amen. So when I looked at it, I said that, wow, God had created a lovely, perfect thing. But by Eve's disobedience, the whole creation changed. And then I was having my quiet time, and then I learned that every small step, you know, Eve may have thought it's just an apple or it's just a fruit, but that fruit is why you and I are here today. That fruit is because of the Hamas-Gaza war up to today. So God told me that the few actions you take can destroy my creation. And I thought, what creation? And at that time, I was a pastor's wife. So God said to me, the ministry is my creation. The churches are my creation. The vision of your husband is my creation. Therefore, if you touch it in a way, you may destroy something far-reaching. The word of God was chalaking. It was breaking forth. It was being mighty. And it was surging forward in me. So it's not that I'm some Holy Virgin Mary. But the word prospered in me and gave me a certain understanding and then gave me a certain grace by which I walk up to today. Amen. God showed me that in order not to destroy his creation, I was going to have to make some sacrifices. Amen. Because those days, when my husband goes to start a church, he goes himself and he goes to stay there for 3 months at least. And then when the church is established, then he will send for somebody to come and take over or raise somebody, and then he will leave and send somebody to be visiting and all that. And one day he went to start the Geneva church in Switzerland. As soon as he left, thieves came to my house. Yes, and I was alone with my two little boys. So I'm like, Anyway, after that, I was driving to work, and somebody just drove into me. And I was surprised because I had had a major quiet time that morning, and I was in the spirit. And the worship music was playing. And the man came out of his car and said, Madam, I've driven for 18 years. I've never had an accident. I don't know why. So anyway, please, I'll repair your car. I'll do this. But, you know, I didn't want to bring my law in. Otherwise, he would have had to pay me for unforeseen losses. Do you understand? Depriving me of a car, the time I have to go and stand by the wayside, all that is calculated. So anyway, then I saw that I needed help in the house. So somebody told me she would give me domestic help. And when the person came, I'd been praying, God, choose the help for me. God, this house is holy ground. God, I cannot decide. You lead me. Then the guy came. When he came, I welcomed him, showed him his room and everything. But my spirit was not at rest. And because I knew from God's word, it says that the peace of God which passes all understanding, shall keep your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. I knew that not having peace was a sign that God was ministering something, or you were outside, it wasn't his will. So the next morning, just one night, I called the guy and I said, yes, I brought you, but you know, I don't think it's going to work. So you have to leave. He got very angry. What do you mean I have to leave? I just came. Well, I said, yeah, it's true. I brought you. And I'm saying now that I've changed my mind. It's not going to work. And so he went to bring his plastic bag with his things. You know, most of you, when you are going somewhere, you have plastic bag. When you are leaving, you have a suitcase, but you forget the difference. So anyway, I said, oh, let me look in it so that when you are gone and something is missing, I will know that it's not you. When I opened talismans, all folded and whatever. And so he picked his bag and then he was going. He said that, you, this woman, you will see. And I said, I will not see in Jesus' name. I overcome you by the blood and by the word of my testimony. Now, I'm saying this to say that all this happened when my husband had gone to start this branch. And it leaves you in a lonely place. It leaves you in a vulnerable place. And unless the word is chalaki in you, you will react and say, look, since you left, a lot of things are happening. And me, I didn't say I want any branch. You better come home here for us to do the family properly. But the word of God will prosper in the thing wherein it has been sent. Amen, somebody. And so sometimes the reason why you misbehave so much is because the word is not prospering in you. But the word will always be a check to you. And the word will always bring you to a place of light. Amen. So if prosperity is the same word as chalak, the word of God comes mightily in you when certain situations rise up. And then it breaks out. And when it breaks out, you search for it because you can't keep it. You have to share it. You have to tell somebody. You have to affect a certain life because of the prosperity of the word in you. Amen. But when I look at your bank account, your spiritual bank account, the word of God is in red. Amen. Many years ago, missionaries came to Ghana. They came to the coastal areas. And they came first to Cape Coast, where I come from. I mean, I don't come from Cape Coast, but that area. And some went to the coastal regions first. But after a while, the word of God was breaking forth in them. So they went to the hinterland till they reached the north. Today, as Bishop often says, there's a missionary cemetery in Osu. They came from Switzerland. In those days, when we were not a known people, why do you come to an unknown people? Because the word of God is chalaking, is breaking forth in you. But other people around you can't understand. And sometimes they feel you must be mad to be doing this. But it's the prosperity of the word in you. So therefore, if that word is not chalaking and breaking forth, then spiritually, you are a pauper. And you are not prospering in the word. Amen. I mean, we were happily in Ghana. Why should we send Bishop Clufio that he should come to South Africa? A place where we don't know. A place that was not even on television because of apartheid. Do you understand? But I did have some interaction with some South Africans because ANC smuggled South Africans to these countries, including Ghana, to be educated. Because if they were here, they were not going to be educated and the awareness will not be much. That is why Mugabe has a Ghanaian wife. Do you understand? He was brought there by the freedom fighters. Do you understand? So they didn't just stay here. Something had chalaked and broken forth in them. And when the word of God prospers in you, you break barriers. You break limitations. You break your comfort zone. Amen. So I did have some South African, I think Swazi and maybe Zimbabwean maids in my class. One of them was called Aino Shipepe. Yes, and then Sibongile. Yes, they were in my school and I used to talk to them. And we had boarding school, so they slept next to you. You see, so that's all I knew. Not that we are coming to travel there. How? And then we used to wear on a special day, I don't know whether President Mandela's birthday, but we used to wear Free Nelson Mandela. Free Nelson Mandela in school. Yeah. But that was all. Not that we are going to send any seed far away like that. No. But the word of God was chalaking in Bishop Dag's heart. So he called Dr. Clifford and said that South Africa is taking medical doctors. Use your profession to go as a missionary to South Africa, you and your wife. There were American exams, there were UK exams, and there were South African exams. But when the word of God is chalaking you, you are not saying, oh, if I go to US, the pay will be 20 times more. But you, because nothing is chalaking in you, everything you decide is based on feelings, sentiments, and not the word of God. Amen at the back. And so Bishop told him, write the exam. So he registered and he wrote the exam and he passed. And he got a job here and he came. But the main reason was not the job. It was the word breaking forth. Amen. And today, this is what we see. Amen. The reason why we must, please sit down. The reason why we must prosper in the word is because we live in a dark world. Amen. We live in a very, very, very dark world. Psalm 119 verse 105 says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light to my path. The world is filled with darkness. Therefore, if the prosperity of the word is not in us, we won't know what to do. You see, when you even take marriage, every tribe has a way it conducts its marriage. Do you understand? But if you are a Christian and you are in Christ, then it's a different story because the light of God's word is supposed to lead you. When you get to marriage, are you going to choose according to lips, tips, and hips? Is that what is going to inform your decision? But you read the Bible. The Bible will say, do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. That is light. It is prosperity of the word. Amen. Amen. So when we look at Job 29, verse 2, Job is speaking. He says, oh, that I were as in the months of old, as in the days when God watched over me, when his lamp shone upon my head, and by his light I walked through darkness. And by his light I walked through darkness. The Bible says the whole world lieth in wickedness. The Bible says that Satan is the god of this world. The Bible says that everything is dark except the word, because the word brings light. So you need the word. But because you don't have prosperity of the word, that is why when you marry, 6 weeks, you get a little problem. Now you say, I'm gone. As for me, I'm a woman of the millennium. This nonsense, I cannot. And you are judging everything by your feelings, your whatever. But if the prosperity of the word is in you, you say, what is the light in this darkness? What is God saying in this darkness? Amen? And then you see that God is saying, 1 Corinthians 13 verse 4, love suffers long and is kind. You say, hey, the love I know is in the movies. The love I know is on Netflix. The love I know is in books, but not this. But when you have light, he will tell you, love suffers long. No romantic book told me that love suffers. Amen. So you will then receive light in your darkness. Many times, because we don't prosper in the word, we take decisions that are short-lived. You see, God said to me a few weeks ago, he said that if you're going to walk with me, you must know that when you go through something, it's just one of the chapters of your life. There are many, many more chapters to be written. But many people stop in one chapter. They see only the darkness in one chapter. And they don't allow me to take them onto the other chapters of their lives. And I said, God, really? He said, yes. That is why when Joseph went to jail, he could have hung himself in jail that it's finished. My brothers betrayed me. They sold me to slavery. I thought I had a little respite. Potiphar's wife lied about me. Now I'm in prison. Everybody thinks I'm an adulterer. Everybody believes it. My master who loved me does not love me anymore. Why am I alive? What's the purpose? I will end it. But prison was just a chapter. There were many more chapters. He was going to be the second in command to Pharaoh. He was going to be the lifeline to Israel. He was going to be the preserver of God's people. He was going to be the one to bring forth in the line of Jesus, in the line of David. Amen. But when there's no prosperity, you don't know this. So when something happens in the church, you are angry, you say, I'm going. This type of foolishness, I'm leaving. This church choir, they have a lot of problems. Our problems were fewer, but when you came, they multiply. So there are going to be many dark chapters sometimes in life. There are times when you don't even see God. I mean, can you imagine? God gives you a prophecy like Joseph that your brother and your family will come and bow down to you. Then suddenly you know that your brothers and your father live in Canaan. So for you, when you had the dream, you knew that everything will roll out in Canaan. Then now you are in a strange land. You don't even know how to return. And since you came, you have not dreamt. Since you came to Egypt, you have not dreamt. But other people in the jail are dreaming. And you have to interpret their dreams. And their dreams are coming to pass. But you, the dream that they gave you long ago, it's not happening. And even the one whose dream you interpreted is one of the most ungrateful people, those who forget. And when he forgot, he didn't forget for 2 days or 2 years. He didn't remember you. So when you look at it, you say, okay, the one that I said will be hanged, he's been hanged. The one that was not hanged, he's still alive, but he's forgotten about me. Why am I here? All that God told me is not true. And since I came to prison, I've not had any dream. But these two foolish people who don't even know God, they are dreaming. God has forgotten about me. But when you know Isaiah 29:11, and the prosperity of the word is in you, it will say to you, for I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Plans of prosperity and not of disaster, to give you a future and to give you a hope. Beloved, this is one of my most sustaining verses. I tell you. Because God says, he knows the plans. Yeah, I mean, I don't know the plans. And when I look, I can't see the plan. Amen? But he says, I know the plans I have for you. They are plans of good and not of evil. To bring you to the expected end. Not you bring yourself. He will bring you to the expected end. Light in darkness. Light in darkness. That's why the word should prosper in you and I. Amen. Job 29, continue reading from verse 4. As in the days of my youth, when the secret of God was upon my tabernacle. As he said that, he said in verse 3, when his light shone upon my head, and by his light I walked through darkness, as in the days of my youth, when the secret of God was upon my tabernacle. So when you walk in the light and the prosperity of God's word, God shares secrets with you in the tabernacle. And that's a sign that the prosperity of the word is in you. Amen. Many years ago, I was led to have a Bible study on the treasures of darkness. Because God said, I will give you the treasures of darkness. I said, hey, darkness too. Can there be a treasure in it? But beloved, you know, the psalmist said, though I walk through the shadow of death, through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil. Why? Because it's not frightening? No. Because it's not upsetting? No. Because I don't feel like being afraid? No. Because you are with me. Because you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. But you, your comfort is internet. Your comfort is Instagram. Your comfort is Facebook. Your comfort is that friend who is in church but is so ungodly in all her advice. That's your comfort. But the secret of God can be in your tabernacle when the prosperity of the word he sent prospers in you. Amen. Many Christians just get up in the morning and they move out without the Bible. When I was growing up in Scripture Union, they said, NBNB, no Bible, no breakfast. No Bible, no breakfast. And when my children were little, I tried to instill that in them. When they come, I say, you are coming to sit down to eat breakfast. Have you read your Bible? Hey! And they go back. But we don't spend time in the word. You see, it's not just reading. It's not a thing of law that, oh, when I read, then I've satisfied God and I'm okay. No, it's for you to have prosperity of the word in you. And to have that prosperity, you have to go by Joshua 1:8. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate upon it day and night, that thou mayest make thy way prosperous, and thou might have good success. Amen. So when we want to make our way prosperous, we meditate on the word. Reading is different from meditation. And the prosperity of the word does not come forth unless we meditate. You don't even have to read long chapters. Sometimes it's just a verse. But to meditate, allow it to, you know, soak in you, soak in you, soak in you. When Bishop was preaching, he said that we had a friend when we were in uni. And when he comes to visit you, then he'll give you a tape. And he said, minimum soaking 3 times. Minimum soaking is 3 times. So we learned that when even we are listening to messages, for it to prosper in us, we have to listen more than once. We can't listen just once and then,
No, it's even been proven scientifically that we retain only 11% of what we hear. So for the word to prosper in us, it has to be soaked in us. Soak, soak, soak. Soak in the word. Soak, 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 soak. So when you have one verse, you soak it in till it becomes a part of you. And then at that point, it begins to chalak. It begins to break forth. It begins to come forth mightily in you. Amen. I don't know how many of us even know how to have our quiet time. We want some big, prophecies, some big meetings, but all these are based on the word. Prophecy must be based by the word. The Bible says that no prophecy is of private interpretation. Amen. That is why so many Christians are going astray, because they don't know how to rightly divide the word of truth. When you go somewhere, they say, eat grass, you will eat it. Say, because the Lord said that the Lord is my shepherd, so it means you are sheep, and sheep eat grass. So you... And all sorts of things. Amen. But when the word prospers in you, it can only prosper in you when you meditate on the word of God. Don't leave your home without having meditated on the word of God. You see, when I was growing up as a Christian, a young Christian, I thought that God was standing in heaven with a stick, looking to see if you've read your Bible. So when I forget, I could forget for 1 week. Then I sit down, I do Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And then I'll say, God, I've paid all my arrears. Very foolish. You don't prosper in the word when you are like that. Because you are just trying to please a God that you think is very legalistic. But no, the word of God is to benefit us. Amen. And therefore, we must know how to meditate. If you are listening to a word, you know, Bishop will say that it's not every word that catches you. But there are some words that you are listening, it catches you. So then just concentrate on that. But let it soak in so that the prosperity in the word in your life will come forth. Amen. Somebody. So when God is in us, it means his word is in us and is prospering in us. Amen. 1 Samuel 3 verse 1, and I'm running to the finishing line. 1 Samuel 3 verse 1. And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli. And the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision. Amen. In those days, there was no vision. There was no prophetic. But the word of God was there. Which means that God was ranking visions and the word on the same level. How come you, when you read the word of God, you don't get any vision for your life? Because you don't allow it to prosper in you. Amen. Verse 2, and it came to pass at that time, when Eli was laid down in his place, his eyes began to wax dim that he could not see. And before the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was, and Samuel was laid down to sleep. Then the Lord called Samuel, and he answered, here am I. And he ran unto Eli and said, here am I, for thou callest me. And he said, I called not, lie down again. And he went and lay down. And the Lord called yet again Samuel. And Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, here am I, for you did call me. Then Eli answered, I called not, my son, lie down again. This is the second time. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. Neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. Amen. So it's not enough to just read the word. The word of God must be revealed by the Holy Spirit to you. The word of God must be made practical to your particular state, your particular circumstance, and to where you are. Amen. So Samuel, he was serving in the temple, all right, and yet the word of God had not been revealed to him. Now, some people say, you know, don't follow the voice of a man. Always hear from God directly. But I'm sorry, God decided to use men. And God decided to use imperfect men. The Bible says he gave gifts unto men. He gave evangelists, pastors, teachers of the word, apostles, prophets. God gave all these things as gifts to us. Now, sometimes people say, you don't have to listen to a man. You have to listen to God. It is true, but on another side, it's not true. Because Samuel was not used to God's voice. So he had to receive direction through Eli. Amen. When I look at it, I say, ah, God. But even when you eventually revealed yourself to Samuel, what you said was that Eli has not honored you, his sons are very some way, and therefore one day you will bring punishment on them. So if it were a modern charismatic world, Eli would not qualify to speak to Samuel. You have problems, your children, God says that there's going to be judgment, and now you are trying to tell me that this is God's voice. Amen? God's voice is like man's voice. That is why when Samuel was called, he thought it was Eli. Because God sends men to bless us. And God's word often comes through men. Amen? So our duty is to check the word of God to see if the things line up with scripture. But it is not our duty to say, no, God speaks to me only directly, and God does not speak to me through a man. I personally, if God had not nurtured me through the spoken word, through my pastor, Bishop Doug, I don't think I'll be here. Because I was in Scripture Union, I was reading my Bible and everything, but I was not exposed at all to the charismatic world, at all. At all. When we did Holy Ghost baptism, I was in high school. And when we did that Holy Ghost baptism, it was the whole day. They were praying for me to receive. And every time they would stop and say, Adelaide, look at your life. Maybe there's an unconfessing. I don't remember. God, any sin, please. I confessed sins I knew I hadn't committed. I confessed the whole day. Then in the evening, somehow I got baptized. But as soon as that happened, I never used it again. Ever. I said, this gift that it takes a whole day, it's okay. It's a troublesome gift. So I never used it. And then when I went to uni, I met my husband. But he was nothing to me. Just, if I had prophesied that I would marry him, I would never have believed at the time. So he would come and have Bible study with my sister and I. And then he asked me, so have you received the Holy Ghost? I said, yes, with the evidence of speaking. I said, yes. He said, so, do you speak in tongues? I said, no. He said, why? Then I told him this whole day experience. Okay, sister, we are going to do something. This week, you're going to start speaking. When you finish your quiet time, you speak with your understanding, you pray. Then every day, you speak in tongues for 5 minutes. Then the next week, he came. He said, okay, so now we are making it 10 minutes. Then after that, 15. Then after that, 20. Then after that, 25. If I hadn't listened to a man, how will I come into where God wants me to come to? God will always use vessels of clay. I am sorry. He used the 12 disciples, whom if you had to choose, you will not choose. People who are always quarreling about who will sit on the right hand and on the left. People who are so some way. When you depend on them, they rather sleep. When you depend on them, they rather bring problems. How can you rely on such people? But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to defy the wisdom of the wise. Amen. So we also have to learn. Yes, you read the Bible, but God gives you men so that they can give you direction in God's word. All that leads to growth and prosperity and chalaking of God's word in us. Amen. The word of God brought Samuel into full-time ministry. 1 Samuel 3, verse 21. And the Lord appeared again in Shiloh, for the Lord revealed himself to Samuel. You see, sometimes you are hearing God, but he has not revealed himself to you. So in your quiet time, in your Bible study, in your Bible reading, spend quality time so that God can reveal himself in the word of God to you. Otherwise, the word is not practical. That's why in your marriage, there's always quarreling, because you must always be right. You must always win the battle. You must always, but the Bible says that a soft answer turns away wrath. You, soft answer, it's not in your mouth. You have to talk. You have to say, and you cannot be cheated. And then you say, I'm a woman of the millennium, and I believe in human rights. Somebody said that these days people enter marriage with two right hands, and it becomes their rights. Amen. But the word of God had not yet been revealed to Samuel. But as we are reading on now, and the Lord appeared again in Shiloh, for the Lord revealed himself to Samuel in Shiloh. That's 1 Samuel 3:21. By the word of the Lord. Beloved, God reveals himself to us by his word. And we think that God reveals himself to us only through miracles. It's a good thing. Only through prophetic, it's a good thing. Only through word of knowledge, it's a good thing. But principally, God reveals himself to you through his word. And therefore, you cannot recognize him if the prosperity of the word is not in you. And when Samuel was young, the word of God had not been revealed to him. So as you grow, there's progressive growth of God's word in you. And God reveals himself more and more as you walk with him. Amen, somebody. God, the Lord revealed himself to Samuel in Shiloh by the word of the Lord. So the word of God is God appearing to you. Some of you, you are waiting for angels. Amen? You know, when my husband came into full-time ministry, I was still working as an attorney to support the family. So I worked for about 10 years. And I never wanted to, I knew that God had called me, but I wanted to know from God myself when the right moment was. And after practicing for about 10 years, I felt that God was calling me through his word, you know. So I used to wrestle in my closet and tell God, I love you so much. There's no problem with me serving you, but my main problem is the people. People talk by heart. And I said, God, you know that by the grace of God, my father is very wealthy. You know that by the grace of God, I don't know what poverty is, by God's grace. And you know that I was traveling abroad before I became a Mamuruti. You know that, God, you know. And you know, I don't have a problem with you, Jesus. I love you with all my heart. But I have a problem with the people. God, as soon as I come into full-time ministry, they are going to say my shoe is first offering. Yay! And they are going to say my dress is pledges. Yay! And they are going to say my watch is from fundraising. God, that is the problem I have, not with you. So I was wrestling with that. Then I asked my husband, so if I come full time, what work will I do? Not that there's no work, but like, where will you post me to? And he said, I don't know, anywhere the church needs help, I mean, they will post you there. I was wondering, who are they? Anyway. So to cut a long story short, I did come full time, fully convinced that God was calling me and it was time. And I told my husband, I want... That time I'd started our school. So I used to pass by there, look after the babies, and I'll go to the office and all that. So I told him, as I'm coming full-time, I don't want the school to become my full-time job. That I don't want. He said, really, why? I said, because I want to do something spiritual. And I want to feel that I have a connection to the church. He said, like what? I said, oh, maybe like teaching in the Bible school, like something. Then he said to me, Bible school. Then you have to talk to the dean. Me, a founder, I should go and talk to the dean. Hey, life can be amazing. I said, which dean? Then he mentioned her name. First of all, my junior in high school, she is. And when you count my years of being in the church, and you count my loyalty, this dean, when you weigh her in the scales, there's no way to. I was so annoyed. And I said, but you can tell the dean that this is what's on my heart. He said, no. There are structures. We have to work according to structures. Hey, really? So I went to my closet. I was crying. I said, that God, they don't even recognize my efforts. And my look, these small girls who just came, they said, I should go and ask them where I will be. I mean, God. And God said, you know, I resist the proud, but I give grace to the humble. And I said, hey, but who are you talking about here? He said, oh, all your sayings, they are laced with pride. I said, me? I said, the church knows how humble I am, don't you? I said, God, the church knows how humble I am. It cannot be that you are now telling me that I'm proud. And the Holy Spirit said, listen to yourself. Do you know who my father is? Do you know what I've experienced in this life? Do you know when did this dean come? Do you know? Hey! Due to the prosperity of the word in me, I just became sober. I knelt down and I started to cry. And I said, rid me of every pride. Rid me of everything that's me. Rid me of everything that doesn't please you. And then he asked me, who called you? I said, but what question is that? So who called you? Is it Bishop Dag who called you? I said, no. So now what's your problem? I called you. And I am directing your path. So what is your problem? So all that, I came out very sober. Then I went to see the dean. It's okay, you know, I wanted a spiritual something to do, so where can I be posted? And she said, oh, and the timetable is a bit, whatever. So give me time to study and I'll get back to you. Hey. The dean crashed, she may be listening. Anyway. So I soberly went to my place. Then she called me. Oh, is that Sister Mommy? Good afternoon. Yes, we've come up with what you can do. I said, really, what? To teach English language in the Bible school. Huh? I said, I want something spiritual. When did English language become spiritual? I said, why has my destiny been put in people's hands? And why? Back to my closet, where my problems are solved. God said, it's a wilderness experience. I said, what does it mean? He said, have you seen anybody I've called who has not gone through the wilderness? Do you know anyone? I took my Bible. I said, really? Wilderness. So I put wilderness. I saw Abraham. He passed through the wilderness. There was nothing there. And then there was a famine. Hey, the people of Israel, they passed through so many different wildernesses. So I started to study. The word was chalaki in me. Later, I preached it. And somebody called me. It was played on radio, one of our bishops. I said, wow, this wilderness revelation, Auntie Mami. I said, brother, it was born through tears. And it was born in the secret of the tabernacle. Amen. You two are going to have your challenges. You two are going to have your wrestlings. You two are going to have things that you don't understand. How are you going to maneuver? Is it through the word? Or is through what you read on Facebook? Or is through what you hear as gossip? Is the word of God able to tame you? When we say forgive, you said that every day forgive. It's not easy. He didn't say it would be easy. But he said that forgive us our sins as we forgive them that trespass against us. So the reason why your prayers are not being answered, you have not forgiven that person. You've been given offering, you've been tithed, but your prayers are stuck. Because forgive us our sins as we forgive them that trespass against us. Amen. So I came to tell you that let the word of God prosper, flourish, progress, and advance in you. And when it does, your very life will follow so many things. You see, when you are following God, you look wise, and you look like you know what to do. But the thing is that somebody is directing you every step of the way. And because of that, you come across as wise. But it's just his light that is chalaking, breaking forth, and prospering in you. Make it your aim to spend time in his word. Make it your aim to let God be revealed in his word. You know, Bishop says that he was having his quiet time when God said to him, give thyself wholly, that thy profiting may appear unto all men. It was that one word. That's why you and I are here today. You too. What word has moved you forward? What word has advanced you? What word has made you flourish? It's time to grow. It's time to not only grow, but to thrive, to flourish, and to break forth. Stand to your feet, please. Shall we pray? We have heard the word of God. God reveals himself to us through his word. Pray that he will create in you a desire for his word. Pray that he will create in you a desire for his light. And pray that the reason for which he's sending his word into your life will be accomplished. Pray that today will mark a new chapter in your life, where God's word will flourish, where God's word will go forth mightily, and where God's word will break forth in your life. Pray and say, Jesus, I want to flourish in your word, in word. For the entrance of your word brings light. Yet your word lighten every darkness. And let me have personal times every day in your word. Let your word be paramount. Let it be stronger than anything else in my life. Open your mouth and talk to God. His word has come forth. You know the parts that he ministered to you on. Speak to him. Open your mouth. We are not in the cemetery. Speak to him. He's listening. Speak to him. He's listening. Oh, let the word of God be revealed in us. Let the word of God be revealed in us. Libre ende che sotto il baba shakata yamane ribeke sotto la bayande che mayande le bebe. Let the word of God canto pelikine santa yamane. Let the word prosper in that for which you send it.
Shall I bring forth and flourish in your life? If you're coming, come with me. God directly.
Hallelujah.
Speak to God directly. Although I am leading you in prayer, I'm just a man. I'm like the voice of Eli, leading Samuel to the Savior. Every eye closed, every head bowed. Say this prayer meaningfully, for God cannot be mocked. Let it come from your heart. Say, dear Jesus, this afternoon, I come to you just as I am. Jesus, I recognize that I am a sinner. Forgive me for all my sins. Forgive me for not being devoted to you. But this afternoon, I invite you to come into my life and be the Lord and the master of my life. I give up everything in my life. I give it up to you. Jesus, take my life and make me what you want me to be. Thank you for dying on the cross to save me. And thank you that you rose from the dead so that I may have eternal life. And thank you that by this prayer, I'm born again. I'm a child of God. Thank you for a new beginning where your word prospers in me and in every area of my life. Satan, I am now a child of God. I have the authority to speak to you. Listen to me carefully. I break every chain with you. I am no longer yours. I belong to Jesus. And the blood of Jesus has become my covering. Thank you, Father, for answered prayer, for new life in Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. God bless you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Heaven is rejoicing over you.